You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
Noir Canada, Black Canada. That's the title of a book that was published in French and mainly distributed in Quebec. It's about a Canadian mining company. It's about Canadian mining company practices in Africa. Barrick Gold Corporation has sued the small press publisher, Eco-Société, for $11 million, claiming defamation. Now, the same Barrick Gold Corporation is threatening the existence of Talon Books in British Columbia if they publish, in English, a different book, but by the same lead author, titled Imperial Canada, Inc., Legal Haven of Choice for the World's Mining Industries. Carl Ziegler is the publisher of Talon Books, and he joins me from his home in Powell River. Welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio, Carl.
Well, thank you, Mark.
I mentioned in the introduction the book in Quebec published, Noir Canada. What was the focus of that book?
The focus of Noir Canada was really an investigation by a group of authors headed by a man called Alain Deneau into the mining practices of mining companies on the continent of Africa. And in the course of its investigation, the authors discovered that Canada was playing a particular role in the activities of these mining companies in Africa that seemed larger than simply the continent. And so the book ended up having a kind of subtext that I was interested in more than the actual sensationalized events, because most of us who follow the news fairly assiduously are aware of them already.
Barrick Gold launched its suit against the publisher for what they said was defamation of them through its discussion of the situation of mining in Africa. And I was wondering, was there any public outcry in Quebec at a suit being launched to suppress the publication went ahead, but to suppress sort of the distribution of a book like that?
Well, under Quebec law, when there's a libel action, the distribution of the book is not suppressed, unlike in English Canada. But there has been a very considerable outcry in Quebec, absolutely, and not just in the alternative media. The Le Devoir, for example, has been really leading the charge on this one. There have been lots and lots of articles in Le Devoir. There have been many public demonstrations in Quebec, mostly in and around universities, because all of these authors are academics, of course. And what's at stake here is, and I say of course, because they're scholars, right? I mean, this is not a book written essentially by reporters, but it's written by scholars. So there has been a great deal of attention on in and around this book and on the lawsuit in Quebec. Not so much in English Canada, though. And I think one of the reasons for that is that even though we live in a bilingual country, most of us who speak English in this country don't speak and read French very well. And so the book essentially is not known in English Canada at all. There is another company called Banro, also a gold mining company, that launched a parallel suit in Ontario to the one that Barrick launched in Quebec, because, of course, the suit in Quebec was launched under the Quebec Civil Code, and Canadian common law in the Anglophone parts of this country is different. So the launch of the suit by Banro in Ontario pretty much created an effective legal embargo on the translation of this book. Talon did start out proposing to the publisher of Noir Canada that we do an English translation of it. But when I took that idea to a lawyer for legal advice, he said, don't do it, which suited me just fine because, as I said before, I mean, I was far more interested in the book's subtext, in the legal environment and framework that's behind these kinds of activities by these companies, not just in Africa, but all over the world. And so the decision not to publish an English translation of Noir Canada actually gave me the opportunity to approach the author, the lead author, Alain Deneau, and propose a completely different kind of book, which is the one that we announced, called Imperial Canada, Inc. And the book that I wanted to publish was a book that examines the legal and fiscal framework in Canada that has attracted over 70% of the world's mining companies to this country, and over 70% of the world's mining companies are registered in Canada. You have to ask yourself why. And that's what this book essentially asks.
So the book was, I assume, the Alain Deneau and the other authors took on the task that you had said was of interest to you, completed the text, and you announced that this would be available, published in spring.
In May.
And then you got a letter in February before that month, before scheduled publication, from Barrick Gold. What did they say in their letter?
Well, the letter was very curious. We announced the book at the beginning of the year, in and around January, I suppose. February 12th, we got a letter from a law firm called Davies, Ward, Phillips, and Weinberg, representing Barrick Gold. The letter was marked with prejudice. And essentially what it did was demanded, it did not request, it demanded to see a copy of this manuscript insofar as that it had anything at all to do with either Barrick Gold, its subsidiary Sutton Resources, I suppose, and any of its directors, you know, present and past. And I was astonished by the letter because it was not only a demand to see a manuscript in progress that was not due to be published for another 3 months at least, but it actually gave us a timeline. It gave us 7 days to deliver until 5 p.m. on February the 19th. And the very idea that someone in this country, whether an individual or a corporation, could see a title announced on someone's website and take it upon themselves to demand to see that manuscript in progress 3 months before the title ever came out, and threatened people, and the letter also threatened Talon Books and anyone else involved in working on the book with dire legal consequences. I was astonished to be in this, to realize that I was living in a country in which such a thing was possible, and that the lawyers for Barrick Gold would take it for granted that it was their right to demand to see a manuscript like this in progress. I was floored.
That's exactly parallel, seems to me, to having a state agency official censor saying, before you can publish anything, I must approve it.
Absolutely. I mean, this, I thought the West won the Cold War, if you'll pardon me. I mean, you know, back in the old days, people used to look at East Bloc countries where, you know, you're quite right. I mean, this is anything that was to be published had to pass censors. Now, this wasn't particular to East Bloc countries. I mean, we've gone through many periods in history where this is true. I mean, the Catholic Church has been involved in this kind of these kinds of practices for centuries and so on. But, you know, I thought that that we lived in the kind of country where this kind of thing was not possible. That's why I was so astonished
And what was your response to Barrick Gold? Did you communicate with them in any way, or?
No, no. I mean, we just ignored it. I mean, the request was illegitimate. It was extrajudicial. They sent similar letters, incidentally, to all the authors and the translators as well. But we ignored it at Palin Books because the demand and the threat we felt had absolutely no substance under the law. I mean, it was an absurd letter at some level.
At the same time, the letter did have the effect of at least delaying your publication schedule.
Well, yes, it did. What happened is that we immediately marked the book as canceled because we needed to consult legal advice, to get legal advice, which we did, which I gather the translators and the authors also did because they got similar letters. So we had to, ascertain what our position under the law exactly might be in terms of proceeding with the project. But after we got the legal advice, and we got a great deal of community support, actually from BC Civil Liberties Association, the Canadian Civil Liberties Association, and so on, we decided to re-announce the project and take the project to completion. So it's now in our fall catalog, which will be out next week, and as a fall title. And we hope to get the book out sometime between now and the end of the year.
The BC Civil Liberties, John Dixon, who's one of the board of directors, I heard an interview with him where he was calling for the necessity to change libel laws in Canada because corporations being treated similar to individuals but having in law, but having these huge resources can use that financial base to in fact silence legitimate public discussion about their operations.
Well, they can and they do. There isn't a country in the Anglophone world where slap suits work better than in Canada. And incidentally, that is one of the central themes, one of the four central themes in Imperial Canada Inc., which is to look at Canadian libel law and to discuss precisely this issue. It's very interesting that when I first asked a lawyer for legal advice on publishing a translation of Noir Canada, his advice was not, it had nothing substantively to do with the content of the book or anything else. His basic position was, look, if you publish this book, Barrick's lawyers and probably Banros will take you to court in English Canada, and the case will drag on for years, as the case in the Francophone world already has. And whether you're right or not, by the end of the day, you will be bankrupt. And one of the chief reasons I decided not to go ahead with that book was because Talon Books doesn't only publish social issues kinds of books. We're primarily known in Canada as one of the country's leading literary publishers. We have been in business as a book publisher since 1967. There are a lot of Canadian literary classics on our list. And no one at Talon Books ever thought that we could put ourselves in a position of putting that kind of legacy at risk for the sake of a single book, no matter how important that book was. So our concern in this matter extends considerably beyond this particular book. I mean, we're talking about a company that has roughly 500 books on its list, many of which are, as I say, important Canadian literary classics, others of which are books of important social commentary and so on. So we wanted to make very sure that anything we publish would effectively be immune from the abuse of libel law in Canada by anyone, any individual or body corporate.
Well, we'll keep our listeners abreast with developments on this. I'll direct them to your website as well to follow the plans for publication of Imperial Canada. And thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Well, thanks for having me, Mordecai.
I've been speaking with Carl Siegler. He's publisher of Talon Books. And do check their website for updates on this particular book and in general on the books that they produce. Their website is talonbooks.com.